speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. This is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We are now ready for your word. Father, we pray that all that we do and all that we say will be pleasing in your sight. May the great seed of your word go forth unencumbered, and may it find good soil in our hearts and minds, that the seed of your word might take root in the soil of our spirits and might produce great fruit. We ask you to have your way today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in a culture of troubled minds and restless hearts. Even when things are going well, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop, because we're afraid the good times won't last. Even when things are stable, we're wondering when we're going to experience a shakeup. Even when God has been good, we're wondering, when are things going to start going bad? And if they're already bad, we're waiting for something to turn around and become good. Life has a way of pressing on your peace. Life has a way of throwing you curveballs when you get bills you didn't expect, sickness you didn't see coming, problems you couldn't predict, crises and calamities that you didn't plan for, or death that comes unwelcomed. For me, over the last couple of weeks, I've had three preaching pastor friends, one of them like a little brother to me, who suddenly passed. And it hit me hard because I wasn't expecting it, right? It just came out of nowhere. And when life pushes you into places where anxiety seems automatic, where fear feels familiar, and when worry feels natural, the question is, what are you going to do about it? See, the truth of the matter is, as believers, I don't care how much of a Christian you think you are, none of us are going to get an exemption from difficult situations and circumstances in life. So how do you respond when they come your way? All of us had our little Thanksgiving speech ready to give on Sunday when somebody said, what are you thankful for? You on Thursday, you gave your Thanksgiving speech, but there were some problems waiting for you on Friday. After you gave all the thanks you wanted to give on Thursday, there was some stuff waiting on you on Saturday. And for somebody, you know there's something waiting for you on tomorrow. Paul, chained in a Roman prison, writes a command that sounds impossible to the average person to obey. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Paul writes this message. It's a simple message, but I believe it's a supernatural message. Sometimes God gives us a new insight into his word, and then sometimes it's just the timing of God's word that provides for us encouragement, sometimes that we didn't even realize we needed. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to have peace when life won't let you rest. How to have peace when life won't let you rest. Three things I believe the Apostle Paul wants us to see in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, that I hope and pray will encourage you as you're facing struggles and challenges in life. And let me be transparent to say to you, even for myself, I feel like I'm almost preaching to myself today, because I've got a lot of things going on and I'm being hit from a lot of different places, and some stuff people said they would do, they didn't come through and do. And so I'm literally sitting there saying, God, what is going on? What's happening? And the Lord took me to this passage for my own spiritual sanity. And so let me encourage somebody else with what the Lord encouraged me with this week. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to stop worrying about anything. You need to stop worrying about anything. How to have peace when life won't let you rest. You need to stop worrying about anything. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the A part, the ESV translation, do not be anxious about anything. Now, when you fill in the blank anything, I want to encourage you, put quotation marks around that, because I want you to treat anything like a thing. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Now, he's writing to a church who is facing some anythings in life. He's writing to the church at Philippi, and they are dealing with persecution in Philippians chapter 1. They're dealing with false teachers in Philippians chapter 3. And chapter 4, they're dealing with internal conflict and financial strain. And Paul writes to them and says, don't worry about anything. But their anything is not his anything, because he's got some anythings that he's writing out of. The Apostle Paul is writing this from a prison cell. He's waiting on trial. He's not sure if he will live or die. He is seen as a threat to Rome. He's been abandoned by some and criticized and harassed by others. But despite what he's going through personally, he writes to those Philippian believers and says, don't be anxious about anything. So I'm telling you that because I want you to know Paul is not writing something theoretical. Paul is not writing and giving advice from something that he's read. He is writing from his own personal experience. Paul says, I'm telling you this because I know that what God has done for me, God can do the same thing for you. That word for anxious in the original language literally means to be divided. To be pulled apart mentally, to be strangled or choked by excessive concern. It's the same word that is used by Jesus in Matthew 6:25. Let's read it together. Matthew 6:25 from the New Living Translation. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? See, worry is a mental strangulation, the result of fear pulling your mind in opposite directions and making you prematurely focused on things that have not even come to pass yet. He says, be anxious about nothing. Now, that being anxious and don't be anxious about anything means that nothing is outside of the boundary, right? In other words, there are no exceptions. He doesn't say, well, don't worry about anything except, right? Because I know that's what some of y'all are thinking. I hear you preaching, it sounds good, but you don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't understand who I'm living with. You don't understand what I'm going to face on. And he says, no, there are no exceptions. Not your finances, not your family, not your job, not your health, not your future, not your enemies or your friends. Paul says, if it tempts you to worry, God says, release it. You know, I was thinking about an illustration about worry, and I came to this conclusion. Worry is like a rocking chair. Somebody said, what do you mean it's like a rocking chair? It's like a rocking chair. It moves, but it goes nowhere. Right? And when you sit in a rocking chair, you may be excited with the movement, but you're not making any progress. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And when you worry, that's all you're doing. You're moving, but making no progress. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. Identify and name your anxieties before God. Evaluate what your worry comes from, because many times, listen carefully, worry comes from not trusting God. Now, we don't want to say it. We don't want to identify it, but that's where it comes from. It comes from not trusting God. Paul doesn't simply say stop worrying. He gives us an alternative. He says you need to replace worry. That's one thing I like about God. When God speaks, he not only tells you what not to do, but he tells you what to do. So here's number two. Told you, number one, you need to stop worrying about anything. Number two, you need to start praying about everything. You need to start praying about everything. Now, before those of you who are professional Christians, tune me out. Before those of you who have been walking with Jesus since the year of our Lord, say, I don't need to hear that. Paul is not necessarily giving new information to everybody, but he is giving a divine reminding to everybody. Watch what he says, the B part of verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In everything. Paul says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. He says, pray about everything. Pray about everything. The big things, the small things, the emotional things, the logical things, the hidden things, the embarrassing things, the unexpected things, the everyday things, the impossible things, the improbable things. He says, pray about everything. See, God invites you into constant communication with him. Can I tell you one of the lessons that I've learned in life? You don't remember to pray about the big things when you haven't practiced praying about everything. See, there's somebody who's listening right now. You haven't been practicing your praying about everything because you don't know or think God is interested in the little things. Or maybe it's something so small you think you can handle it. Let me put a cord in the meter and park there for a second. Sometimes what happens in life is the devil will trick you into giving you some success in handling situations and building this sense of confidence so that you handle it and you handle one and you handle three and you handle five. And now you start thinking and you can handle 9 and 10. And it's only a setup for the devil to distract you, dissuade you, depress you, to somehow get you to a place where you are no longer putting your focus on God. When you pray about the little things, it sets a precedent for how to handle the big things. Let me give you an example. A friend of mine was telling me he was having a conversation with his young daughter, and she said, Daddy, I need to talk to you. And she wanted to talk to him about his her tea set. She wanted to have this conversation about a tea set in her dollhouse. And he sat there, man, and he was intent. He was like, you thought he was, you know, in a college lecture or something. Man, he's listening, really? And so I asked him a question. I said, why did you do that? Why did you listen so intently to your baby girl wanting to have a conversation about a tea set? He said, because I want her to know and get in the practice of telling me everything. So when she has to tell me something that's really important, watch this. He said, I listened because it was important to her. But there's some stuff later on that I'm needing her to tell me that's going to be important for me to know. So I need her to get in the practice of telling me and knowing that her daddy wants to hear whatever she has to say. I'm trying to help somebody in here today because I need you to know your daddy wants to hear whatever it is you have to say. He wants you to come to him, not with some things, not with the big things, not with the stuff you don't think you can handle. He says, come to me with everything. Pray about everything. And then he gives us some layers, right, of prayer. He lets us know this is not a now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep kind of prayer. This is not a God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food kind of prayer. He says, no. This is when you got to for real pray. Like these are some prayers you got to get down on your knees. And then he said, there's some praying you got to do, you got to get on your face. He said, there's some prayers that you can make with your plate up, and then there's some prayers that you got to turn the plate down. So watch what he says. He says, first, he says, I want you to know you should pray about everything. Now, this is the broadest term biblically for praying, and it means a general conversation with God. It means acknowledging God's presence in your life, coming to God with reverence and out of relationship, not necessarily to make a request. You heard Cynthia Rose talk about her prayer experience, right? And we've taught you how to pray for an hour. Pray, the acronym P-R-A-Y, praise, repent, ask, and then yield. And many people, the hardest time in those four is that area of yielding, because that's the time you need to shut up and listen to God. And we're so used to having a one-sided conversation with God, where we do all the talking and then we say, all right, God, in Jesus' name, and hang up the phone. And God says, I want to have a conversation with you. So here's what God says. Before you bring me your anxiety, I need you to bring me yourself. I need you to have a relationship with me and pray. And then he uses the word supplication, B, the word supplication. And this is a specific, urgent, detailed pleading to God. It means bringing your deepest needs and your deepest desires, coming to God honestly. This may be for some of y'all, Tom, this is ugly prayer. This is crying prayer. This is sniveling and snotting prayer. This is, you praying for real, right? You ain't going through the motions. This is not a Sunday morning, you know, melodic prayer, you know, that's said to impress people with your ability to pray. This is, if I ever needed you before, Lord, I sure do need you now. I need you to come in, God. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. It's a vulnerability with God. You're literally sharing with God the weight of your soul. And then C, thanksgiving. It's as if Paul says, now, whenever you come to God, there's an action, but it ought to be undergirded by an attitude. Thanksgiving, Eucharistia, right? It's where we get the English word Eucharist from, the Lord's Supper, right? It's a gratitude that should be present while you're still asking. It acknowledges that God has been faithful before. It really inspires us and encourages us to pray, because when we're thankful for what God has done and what God is doing, we can thank God in advance for what we need him to do. So he says, let your requests be made known to God. God says, come to me. Now, why do we go to God? We don't go to God to give God new information. You don't pray to tell God something that he didn't know. I mean, it's not like when you start praying, God is in glory saying, oh, myself. Some of y'all will get that when you get to 288. Right? Prayer is not to give God information. It's really about your personal formation and transformation. Prayer is about you becoming more dependent upon God, about recognizing that it's in him you live, move, and have your being. I don't care how high the office is you aspire to, you should never recognize that the higher you go, you should always recognize that the higher you go, the more you need to depend on God. I was talking to a lady who was in leadership at a university, and she ended up losing her position. Had a chance to talk to her after everything had concluded. She had left the position. And I said to her, I said, what did you learn about your experience? I said, specifically, what did you learn about you in your experience? She said, you know what, Pastor? She said, let me tell you something. Nobody ever asked me that. She said, let me tell you what I learned. She said, on my way up, I was focused on God. She said, I was in Bible study, I was in the choir, I was doing all of these things. She said, and when I got to that high and lofty position, she said, I felt like I didn't have time to go to Bible study like I used to. She said, I used to sing in the choir. She said, but when I got in that lofty position, I thought to myself, what would a person in this lofty position, why would they be in the choir at their church? Because I'm in too important a position. She said, and I recognized that what I did to get where I was, I didn't do that to stay where I was. See, prayer helps align your heart with God's will. Prayer releases your grip on control. Prayer transfers burden from you to Him. Prayer helps you shift your focus from worry to worship. Because many times when we are praying, we're telling God how big our problems are. But when we're worshiping, we can turn around and tell our problems how big our God is. When you go to the airport and you drop your luggage off, you leave your bags at the counter, and then you trust the system. Yeah, you trust the system. You got no choice. You got to trust the system, right? And they try to make you feel better. Deacon Wilbur said, try to make you feel better, because they send you your little baggage number. They text it to you, right? Your baggage registration. And track your bags. Track your bags. Because they want you to feel better. Can I tell you something? Sometimes my bags have gotten lost with all of that tracking and all that dropping off. Right? I remember one time, man, we landed in Birmingham, Alabama. Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm sitting there, one bag came in and the other bag did not. And they said, well, sir, it should be on the next flight. We got one more flight tonight. Should be on the next flight. And I'm looking at that tracking information and it still didn't make the next flight. And I said, now how many flights are coming from Birmingham, Alabama? And I got my bags there in plenty of time, right? But here's the point. When you drop the bags off, you got to trust the ground crew, you got to trust the baggage handlers, you got to trust the pilot to get your bags where they are supposed to be. And prayer is where you drop off everything that you are concerned about. And then you trust God to work it out. So I want you to turn your anxiety list. If you got a worry list, make up a worry list and then cross out worry and turn it into a prayer list. Practice breath prayers, especially when fear spikes. Build a gratitude habit by beginning each prayer with thanksgiving. Pray small prayers all day instead of only one long prayer at the end of the day. Matter of fact, let me tell you what's helped me. I've gotten to the place now that I don't put a period on my prayers until I'm praying my last prayer for the day before I go to sleep. In other words, when I pray, I want to keep the line constantly open with God. So when I'm walking into a situation or circumstance or I have to deal with something, I don't have to, you know, pick up the phone and dial and say, hey, God, waiting to hear from you, because the line is open. I'm not going to give the Jesus name till I'm ready to close my eyes. Because I want to stay in perpetual communication with God. Sometimes it's me needing to talk to God, and sometimes it's God wanting to get to and communicate to me, and I need to hear from Him. Look at Proverbs 16:3. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. So here's what God says. If you stop worrying and start praying, text says God not only hears your prayers, but He responds in a supernatural way and gives you what only He can give you. Look at the third thing. I told you, number one, you need to stop worrying about anything. Number two, you need to start praying about everything. Number three, if you're going to have peace when life won't let you rest, you need to start resting in God's peace. You need to start resting in God's peace. Verse 7, Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Worry has opened the door for anxiety to attack your heart and your mind. And God says, when you stop worrying, don't be anxious about anything and pray about everything, you now open the door for his supernatural peace to come in and to guard what has previously been troubled. That word peace is an assurance in your relationship with Jesus that regardless of circumstances and situations, you can have peace in it because of who you know and whose you are. Peace is not the absence of problems, right? Peace is the presence of a calm assurance even in the midst of problems. Have you ever been in a place where everybody around you seemed to be frantic, upset, and God had just given you a peace? And you knew, I mean, you just felt his peace. And let me say this, there have been times where you've been anxious and upset, and then you had to be reminded by the Holy Spirit, where's the peace? Where's the peace? See, because peace is not passive, peace is protective. And I'm grateful today because the peace of God is not produced by circumstances. It's not produced by reasoning. It's not produced by escape. It's not produced by avoidance. It's not produced by emotional detachment. You know, some of us think we got to get away to get peace. We got to go far to get peace. But if you got to go away to get peace, when you come back, guess what you're going to have? Same thing you had when you left. Maybe for somebody that's watching today, maybe for somebody that's here, the greatest lesson you can learn is how to have peace right where you are. And not give other people or situations or circumstances control of your peace. See, because too many of us, we give other folk control of our peace. You know, rob me of my peace. Why you let them rob you of your peace? You know, it's like that book I saw in the airport. If people are driving you crazy, take away the keys. Right? Stop giving people the permission and power to rob you of what God is trying to give you. Look at Philippians 4:9. Let's read it together. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Let's read it together. Come on, read it loud so I can hear you. You will keep the perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Paul says the Lord wants to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. That means it defies human logic. It means it transcends human explanation and it outperforms human comprehension. It's one of those places where when God puts you there, you almost have to look at yourself and say, look at you. With your child of God acting self. Look at you with some peace of mind of hearing this storm. Look at you trusting God like you never have before. Look at you who leaning and depending upon God like you never have before. Look at you who recognize, do all you can and then trust God to do what you can. He said, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and will guard your minds. The idea of stationing a soldier, enforcing protection, putting the right people in place, armed to stand and watch against any attacks that come against you. He said, the peace of God will guard your hearts and will guard your mind, will guard your emotions and your intellect, will guard your emotions and your thoughts. Remember what I told you, when you function and you get angry, you are functioning, psychologists say, at 50% of your normal IQ. So when somebody says, in a fit of rage and anger, I lost my mind, they're telling the truth. That's why you do stuff that you do when you get angry, and when you calm down and come back to your senses, you try to backtrack that stuff. I'm just going to throw this in as a side note. Two times I've learned that people tell the truth is when they're mad and when they're drunk. I'm just throwing that out there. So when they come back and say, you know I didn't mean that. Oh, no, yes, you did. You just didn't have the courage to say it before. But you, no. That anger dropped all the filters. It all came out. And they get drunk. They be like, woo, truth serum. Here it comes. And when they get sober, like, I ain't mean all that. No, yes, you did. But Paul says the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. See, peace is not available to everyone, not this kind of peace. This kind of peace is available only to those who know Jesus. So if Jesus is not your savior, peace can't be your security. If Jesus is not your shepherd, peace can't be your shield. If Jesus is not your shepherd, peace cannot be your guard. Look at Colossians 3:15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. John 14:27, I am leaving you with a gift, Jesus is talking, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. See, when fear arises, when trouble comes, I want you to declare God's peace out loud. Remind yourself, peace is guarding me and worry is not welcome. Don't sabotage your peace by returning to what you've already released, and don't give your peace over to somebody else who may not have peace themselves. See, life may shake you, but God can settle you. Life may confuse you, but God will calm you. Life may drain you, but God can deliver you. And when the winds blow, his peace anchors you. When the storms rage, his peace will shelter you. When the nights stretch long, his peace will keep you. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And stay resting in the peace that God guards everything. It's a peace you can't calculate. It's a peace you can't comprehend. It's a peace you can't explain. It's a peace that doesn't make sense, but makes a difference. It's a peace that stands guard at the gate of your spirit. It's a peace that blocks when the enemy sins. It's a peace that holds what God wants to keep. It's a peace that you can't rationalize, but you can internalize it. So when life won't let you rest, God's peace will help you to sleep. When life won't calm you down, God's peace will calm you down. When life won't give you peace, God will give you what life can't give you. An old song, very popular, said that problem that I had just couldn't seem to solve. I tried and I tried and just got deeper involved. But I gave it over to Jesus and I stopped worrying about it. I gave it over to the Lord And he worked it out. That pain that would not move had me praying in the upper room. The burden that I bore had me wondering how much more. So I gave it over to Jesus. I stopped worrying about it. I gave it over to the Lord. And he worked it out. The habit that I had just couldn't seem to break. I prayed and I prayed. Don't let it be too late. I gave it over to Jesus. I stopped worrying about it. I gave it over to the Lord and he worked it out. Is there anybody listening today? Anybody who can testify that he can work it out? Yeah. For somebody today, even in the midst of the holidays, the enemy might get you thinking it's selfish of you to start thinking about yourself, or in the midst of the holidays, there's something wrong because now you're going back to focusing on, you know, the difficulties in life. But here's what we know as believers, y'all, just because the calendar changes doesn't mean the calamities change. Doesn't mean the conflicts change, right? We talking about November, and man, it's nice for somebody to call a ceasefire on Thanksgiving Day, but how many of you know they start shooting again the day after Thanksgiving? And you might have had to claim a respite on Thursday only to see that ceasefire ending on Friday. But today I want you to know, when life doesn't give you rest, God still can give you peace. I want to encourage somebody today to say yes to God. For somebody, it's a yes in terms of your salvation. But for somebody else, it's a yes in terms of your sanctification. And here's what I mean by that. This word for you may not have been a new word, but it was a timely word. It was a reminding word. That whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, God says, don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I thank you, God, for those who are under the sound of my voice, who need you, who have been trying to find peace, but in all the wrong places. They've been trying to find peace in the bottom of a bottle and pharmaceutical products, in some illicit and sometimes illegal activity. But the problem is, Lord, when they sobered up, when they walked back into their reality, the peace that they sought was short-lived. But God, I pray that they would come to know you today so that the God who gives peace can be their God and their Savior. For those of us who do know you, God, I want to thank you for reminding us. Because it's so easy to get caught up in what we're doing to the place that we lose sight, lose focus on why we do it and who's with us in the midst of what we're doing. And so, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that somebody who knows you has been reminded today to trust you, to let your peace guard their hearts and minds. To pray, conversation, pleading, coming to you clean and honest in both the right actions and attitudes, so that worry will not trouble their minds, but peace and trust will give them peace of mind. We ask you to have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise if you would today. Everybody who can, everybody who will, if you're able to stand wherever you are, downstairs or upstairs, to my left, to my right. If you're here today, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to the Lord. Old man said to me one time, he said, son, he said, always remember, if you worry, you don't trust. And if you trust, you don't worry. Those two things don't go together. And I want to help somebody today. And let me help somebody, because I can hear you and I can hear you saying, well, I don't really worry, right? Because, and then what we do is we try to absolve ourselves of what we're doing by comparing what we're doing to some extreme case, right? Let me give you an example. You see if this makes sense. Somebody say, well, I didn't cuss them out, because if I had cussed them out, I would have been hollering, screaming, and I wouldn't have been throwing things. I just said. So if you don't do the extreme, you don't think you've done it, right? So when you're worrying, you know, somebody, a little worry, well, I'm not worrying like I'm thinking about, you know, taking my life, or I'm depressed in the bed. I'm not really worried a whole lot. No, you're not to that extreme, but you're still there. You're like, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, right? You may not be at a 10, but you're at that 1 or 2. And God says, I want you to trust me. God says, I need you to trust me. I walked up to somebody and I said, how you doing? They said, man, I'm hanging in there. I said, stop hanging in there. Learn how to rest in him. Because when you're hanging by your own strength. But when you're resting, you're just trusting in him. Elder Taylor's going to minister in song. And while he does, if you're here today and you've never asked the Lord into your life, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes. The men and women who are up front, we'd love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life. You don't have to make a statement or say anything in front of this group of believers. There's no voting here. We just welcome you with the decision that you've made. And if you need Jesus, they'll show you privately how to do that. If you want to become part of our church family, they'll do that for you as well. If you just want to come for a time of rededication and prayer, they'll pray with you about that as well. If you're watching today, not only those of you in the sanctuary, but those of you who are watching can use the QR code on the screen. And that QR code will quick link you, fast link you to a number of links, including I want to know how to ask Jesus Christ into my life. I want to become a member of the church. I want prayer. So as he sings, come on and come. Come on and come.
I'll give you peace when the storm is raging. I'll be your light when the road ahead seems dim. I have the power. Just put your trust in me. Anything you need, have faith indeed. Just ask, just ask in my name. Oh, oh, just ask, just ask.
Again, you may be seated. Just let the words of the song minister to you as he sings.
I'll give you peace when the storm is raging.
Yes, sir.
I'll be your light seems dim. I have the power. Just put your trust in me. Anything you need, have faith indeed. Just ask, just ask in my name. Oh, oh, just ask, just ask in my name.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now that it's found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people, and we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers, and help us to continue our journey to becoming and remaining all that you want us to be. Bless us now as we continue our worship, and may everything that we do be pleasing in your sight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good Hope, it's time for the offering. Amen. Let's prepare to worship the Lord in giving. Let me just say this for those of you who are watching. If you have your outlines, if you don't, you can go to goodhope.org and find them there. And one of the things that I work really hard on is giving you application questions. So for those of you who are in the house, on the end of the outline, on the second page of the outline, you have life group discussion questions. And I just phrase them that way. But even if you're not in a life group, these questions can bless you. Maybe it's something that you and your spouse can go through together, or you and a family member. Maybe it's a question that you can ask with your prayer group, etc., to be able to worship the Lord in living out the principles that God has shared with you in his word. So I want you to take advantage of those questions and take a few minutes. Maybe you can do one or two every day as part of your own spiritual devotional to be able to continue to grow in your walk with the Lord. Don't forget the Angel Tree Women of Hope over in the Center for Hope. And again, all of the angels are gone, but we're planning a great, great celebration of Christ on Saturday. The gospel will be shared. We'll be praying with the children and the families who will be coming out. And again, this is one of our bridging events and one of the opportunities that we have to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world to those who need it the most. All right. Where are our first-time visitors? We have any first-time visitors with us? Maybe you were in town for Thanksgiving and stayed over. Just stand wherever you are if we have any first-time visitors with us. Any first-time visitors? Nada? Nunca? Nine? Wow. All right. Well, praise God. Everybody's in the house. All right. Bell, we good? All right. So Saturday, y'all pray for the Angel Tree party. If you'd like to make a donation, you can do that on your way out. And next Sunday, Celebration Sunday. Next Sunday, Celebration Sunday, Bishop Keith Reed is going to be here from the Sharon Baptist Church, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my longtime friend. He has been a friend now more than half of my life, almost like two-thirds of my life. And I'm grateful for my big brother coming and sharing with us on next week. So we're looking forward to God blessing us in a special way. Don't forget to wear your Rooted and Grounded stuff, your swag, and it's going to be a Rooted and Grounded celebration on next week. All right, come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's get ready to go down from this place. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his throne with exceeding great joy, to the all-wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. God, we pray that you'll bless us as we leave this place, but never to leave your presence. May your spirit rest, rule, and abide with us. And may we be reminded, not just this week, this month, this year, but for the rest of our days, to worry about nothing and to pray about everything, that we may have your peace. It's in Jesus' name we pray.